Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1966 with a release date of Friday, May 22nd, 2015 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Post-Quake Nepal MCOM cutback announced. India putting plans into place for better MCOM alerting. The United States Navy Marine Corps Mars program to stand down. And a new South Africa 2-meter propagation beacon announced. All this and more on Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1966 coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline. Amateur Radio's first and only independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, here is Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
This just in, the FCC is eliminating the regulatory fee to apply for an amateur radio vanity call sign. The change will not go into effect, however, until required congressional notice has been given, which will take at least 90 days. As the commission explains in a Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, Report and Order, MD Docket 14-92 and others, released May 21st, it's a matter of simple economics. The FCC says it spends more resources on processing the regulatory fees and issuing refunds than the amount of the regulatory fee payment. The notice states, quote, as our costs now exceed the regulatory fee, we are eliminating this regulatory fee category, end quote. The current vanity call sign regulatory fee is $21.40, the highest in several years. The FCC reports there were 11,500 so-called payment units in fiscal year 2014 and estimated that it would collect nearly $246,100. In its 2014 Notice of Proposed Rulemaking regarding the assessment and collection of regulatory fees for fiscal year 2014, the FCC had sought comment on eliminating several smaller regulatory fee categories, such as those for vanity call signs and GMRS. It concluded in the subsequent report and order last summer, however, that it did not have, quote, adequate support to determine whether the cost of recovery and burden on small entities outweighed the collected revenue, or whether eliminating the fee would adversely affect the licensing process, end quote. The FCC says it has since had an opportunity to obtain and analyze support concerning the collection of the regulatory fees for amateur vanity and GMRS, which the FCC says comprise, on average, more than 20,000 licenses that are newly obtained or renewed every 10 and 5 years, respectively. The commission states it often receives multiple applications for the same vanity call sign, but only one applicant can be issued that call sign. It goes on to say, quote, in such cases, the commission issues refunds for all the remaining applicants. In addition to staff and computer time to process payments and issue refunds, there is an additional expense to issue checks for the applicants who cannot be refunded electronically, end quote. The commission says that after it provides the required congressional notification, amateur radio vanity program applicants, quote, will no longer be financially burdened with such payments, and the commission will no longer incur these administrative costs that exceed the fee payments. The revenue that the commission would otherwise collect from these regulatory fee categories will be proportionally assessed on other wireless fee categories, end quote. However, the FCC says it will not issue refunds to licensees who paid the regulatory fee prior to its official elimination. Amateur radio emergency operations on 20 meters that had resumed in the aftermath of the second Nepal earthquake now have been cut back. This, according to Jayu Bide, VU2JAU, the Amateur Radio Society of India National Coordinator for Disaster Communications. Bide said he discussed the situation on May 17th with Satish Karel, 9N1AA, in Kathmandu, and that the decision was based on the fact that all systems in the affected region are now working normally. VU2JAU, 9N1AA, and others have been among those active on 14.215 MHz since the initial earthquake back on April 25th. As far as we know, this announcement only affects operations on 20 meters. Other groups may be operational throughout the rest of the amateur high-frequency spectrum. The Nepal quakes have made India's Mumbai government aware of the difficulty in reaching tourists through routine communication networks during natural disasters. Because of this, it has now decided to set up at least one emergency operation center equipped with a ham radio station in every district to communicate over during such disasters. There are about 400 licensed radio amateurs in the state, 40 of them from Mumbai, including doctors, lawyers, and engineers. More is online at tinyurl.com. www.pentagon.com/ME29FPN. The U.S. Department of Defense is phasing out the U.S. Navy Marine Corps Military Auxiliary Radio System, or MARS, program. Its operational mission will transition to the other MARS service branches by the end of September. The head of the U.S. Navy Marine Corps MARS program in Williamsburg, Virginia, made the announcement. Current individual members and clubs are encouraged to begin submission of applications to U.S. Army MARS or U.S. Air Force MARS programs as soon as possible. The Navy Marine Corps MARS program also supports the U.S. Coast Guard, as well as the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, and local emergency management agencies. The Federal Communications Commission's Enforcement Bureau has resolved an investigation into the misuse of the Emergency Alert System, or EAS, tones by iHeart Communications, Inc., a subsidiary of iHeart Media. The company has agreed to pay a $1 million civil penalty, admits to misuse of the tones, and agreed to a compliance and reporting plan as a result of airing a false emergency alert. On October 24, 2014, iHeart's station WSIX-FM in Nashville, Tennessee, aired a false emergency alert during the broadcast of the nationally syndicated The Bobby Bones Show. Broadcast or transmission of emergency tones outside an emergency or authorized test violates FCC regulations designed to protect the integrity of the EAS system. False broadcast of an emergency signal can cause unnecessary public concern and undermine the urgency of real efforts. While commenting on an EAS test that aired during the 2014 World Series, Bobby Bones, the show's host, broadcast an EAS tone from a recording of an earlier nationwide EAS test. The false emergency alert was sent to more than 70 affiliated stations airing the Bobby Bones Show and resulted in some of these stations retransmitting the tones, setting off a cascade of false EAS alerts on radios and televisions in multiple states. The Federal Communications Commission recently voted unanimously to open a parcel of government-controlled airwaves in the 3.5 gigahertz band for commercial use by tech and telecom companies. This as it seeks to meet growing data demands from new wireless devices. The strategy would allow wireless providers and others to use the airwaves without charge, similar to Wi-Fi, or to buy licenses for short-term exclusive use in some areas if the airwaves get crowded. The plan to open up the frequencies could help boost the capacity of some companies' existing wireless networks, especially in densely populated locations or indoors. It could even help wirelessly connect specific devices like thermostats or washing machines to facilitate the Internet of Things. The FCC has been developing the system, known as the Citizens Broadband Radio Service, since 2012 and has drawn interest from various wireless Internet service and device companies. Trade groups such as the Telecommunications Industry Association praised the move. In DX Upfront, word that Cordell Expeditions has signed a contract with Nigel Jolly, owner and operator of the Braveheart, for the expedition to Heard Island and moved the project schedule to March and April of 2016. As of now, the ship will depart from Cape Town, South Africa, proceed directly to Heard Island, and finally to Fremantle, Australia. The stay at Heard Island will be nominally March 16th to April 8th, 2016, using the call sign VK0EK. While the radio operation is the primary goal, the team will also carry out a limited scientific program, including a search for new species that can enhance our understanding of biodiversity and the effects of climate change. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the N9MCS Repeater Group, serving Rockford, Illinois. A narrow bill targeting abusive demand letters sent by so-called patent troll companies was voted out of the House Energy and Commerce Committee in late April, this on a 30-22 vote. The measure was authored by Texas Representative Michael Burgess and is named the Targeting Rogue and Opaque Letters, or Troll Act. Burgess is the chairman of the Commerce, Manufacturing, and Trade Subcommittee. The proposed law requires demand letters to be more transparent and accountable under the Federal Trade Commission's definition of an unfair and deceptive practice. It also allows the Federal Trade Commission and state attorneys general to levy fines in trolling cases. But many supporters of patent reform, including the United for Patent Reform Coalition, oppose the bill, arguing it has too many loopholes and doesn't do enough to protect businesses. Democrats in particular have criticized it for undoing stronger measures already in place in 21 states and for requiring the Federal Trade Commission to prove bad faith to show that a sender knowingly made false or deceptive statements. The bill could be rendered moot by two comprehensive patent reform bills recently introduced by the House and Senate Judiciary Committees. The Senate measure also tackles patent demand letters, which could get rolled into a final comprehensive bill. Passage of some kind of anti-trolling law is important to the growing numbers of hams who produce podcasts, because they could easily become targets of the trolls. A nonprofit seeking to start a radio station in Costa Mesa, California, has appealed that city's denial of its request to construct a 70-foot antenna structure. International Crusade for the Penny, which aids people with disabilities and the homeless, wants to start a small station at a commercial building in Costa Mesa to broadcast 24 hours a day in English and Spanish using an antenna in the center's parking lot. The station's programming would include education and entertainment shows for children and adults, as well as interviews with civic leaders. In March, a zoning administrator denied the antenna structure, partially on the grounds that it would be extremely out of scale as compared to the structures around it, and that it could not be properly camouflaged to minimize visual blight. Neighborhood residents had also expressed concerns about the antenna's proximity to their homes. International Crusade for the Penny representative Mary Luna wrote to city officials that she believes her organization is being mistreated because other antennas in the city are not camouflaged in the manner being asked of her organization. Luna added that the Federal Communications Commission approved construction of the antenna structure, though city officials contend that FCC approval does not preempt the city's zoning laws, which can restrict the device's height and location. Some names in the news. CQ Magazine has announced its 2015 Hall of Fame inductees, this by adding two members each to the CQ DX and Contest Halls of Fame, as well as nine new members of the CQ Amateur Radio Hall of Fame. Among others, the 2015 CQ Amateur Radio Hall inductee list includes Congressional Representative Greg Walden, W7EQI, who is chairman of the House Communications and Technology Subcommittee. Also included were actor Tim Allen, KK6OTD, of the ABC comedy Last Man Standing, and the late swing-era musician Alvino Ray, W6UK. Ray is considered the father of electric music and inventor of several electronic musical devices. The 2015 inductees to the CQDX Hall of Fame are Yasuo Zoro Mizuzawa, JH1AJT, and Michael Wells. The CQ Contest Hall of Fame inductees are Doug Grant, K1DG, and Ward Silver, and 0AX. The CQDX and Contest Halls of Fame honor those amateurs who not only excel in personal performance in these major areas of amateur radio, but who also give back to the hobby in outstanding ways. Formal inductions to the CQ Contest and DX Halls of Fame took place at last weekend's Dayton Hamvention. More detailed descriptions of the inductees will appear in an official announcement in the July 2015 issue of CQ Magazine. Brian Moran, N9ADG, took over as editor of the ARRL contest update starting with the May 20th issue. Moran, who lives in Kirkland, Washington, has been in amateur radio for more than 35 years. Besides numerous single-operator efforts from top band through VHF, N9ADG has hosted a number of multi-operator efforts and was part of the VP5W team for the 2008 CQ Worldwide CW contest. Current editor Ward Silver, N0AX, is stepping away after 13 years at the helm in order to concentrate on other ARRL projects. Professor Dava Newman, KB1HIK, was sworn in as NASA Deputy Administrator on May 15th from her Massachusetts Institute of Technology office. Newman is a professor of aeronautics, astronautics, and engineering systems. On the MIT faculty since 1993, she directs the Institute's Technology and Policy Program and MIT Portugal Program. She is also co-director of the Department of Aeronautics and Astronautics Manned Vehicle Laboratory. Her appointment had previously been confirmed by the U.S. Senate on April 27th. Facebook Incorporated has hired former Federal Communications Commission Chairman Kevin Martin to manage policy for the company's mobile and global access efforts. This as the burgeoning social network seeks to get more people worldwide online. Martin, who had been working as a consultant for the past 2 years, is joining as Facebook's Vice President for Mobile and Global Access Policy. He had previously been advising them on issues such as connectivity, spectrum, and mobile. The University of Iowa says that some of its students will conduct a Van Allen radiation belt experiment with the soon-to-be orbited AMSAT Fox 1 CubeSat. Amateur Radio Newsline's Stephen Kinford, N8WB, reports.
Thanks to a proposal by the University of Iowa's Department of Physics and Astronomy, a group of senior electrical and computer engineering students will reenact James Van Allen's original experiment with updated technology and some ham radio as well. Group members Patrick Maloney, KD9CPD, Brian Senchuk, KD9CPE, Kevin Klosterman, KD9CPF, and Tyler Dunkel, KE0CHR. They took on the task as part of their senior design project for the College of Engineering. They will be trying to figure out how much energy is emanating from the Van Allen belts at a specific altitude. To measure that, they have to build a radiation sensor that will launch into space on Fox 1 satellite. There, the radiation sensor will detect energetic particles from the Van Allen belts. The satellite will sit in a low Earth orbit and circle the globe every 90 minutes. This means that some data may be transmitted in real time, but all of it stored for later transmission. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB, reporting.
The data from a full day of operating the experiment will also be transmitted from the satellite as it makes a single pass over the CubeSat tracking station on top of Van Allen Hall. The final result will be a full mapping of the radiation levels at a low Earth orbit. A 12-month renewal for an amateur license in Australia is $51 as of April 5th. That's a drop of $24 from the $75 that applied to renewals earlier this year. The last time that Australian license fee renewals were at $51 was 20 years ago, in Australian dollars, of course. Translated into U.S. dollars, that's 80 cents for the U.S. dollar versus a full dollar in Australian currency. Effective November 1st, all 25 kilohertz land mobile radio licenses in New Zealand operating on frequencies below 470 megahertz will be phased out, except for those used for supervisory C and data acquisition in C and D band spectrum blocks. These channels are being phased out to promote more efficient use of land mobile radio bands, reduce congestion, and align New Zealand with international land mobile radio practice. Affected licensees were informed of the phase-out deadline by letters sent in November of 2010. On the air, word that the Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club will again be hosting special event station W9ZL at the 2015 EAA Air Venture. This is the world's largest air show and fly-in to take place in Oshkosh, Wisconsin from July 22nd through July 26th. W9ZL will operate from the EAA grounds on 14.250, 7.250, and 50.150 single sideband. A certificate will be available for your QSL. Send a large, self-addressed, stamped envelope to Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club, Air Venture 2014, P.O. Box 2346, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54912. The Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club has been sponsoring this special event station for 22 years. This is Ham Radio News for today's Radio Amateur. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, with links to the world from our only official website at www.arnewsline.org and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following Radio Amateur. Trevor Brinch, ZS1TR, has indicated that he is preparing to bring into service a new 2-meter beacon from his home in Lagulas, South Africa, likely within the next few months. The beacon hardware will be supplied by Ken Victor, ZS2OC. It will be programmed with the call sign ZS1TR and the grid square locator JF95WE. The beacon will be equipped with a horizontal dipole antenna beaming east-west and covering the southern coast. Tropo ducting frequently occurs along the coast whenever a cold front is approaching the Cape. In DX, members of the Strumblehead DX and Contest Group will be activating Ramsey Island between June 19th and the 22nd. Their operation will be on 20 through 6 meters with three stations on the air full time. Antennas will be directed to the west to allow them to work as many stations in the USA and North America as possible. QSLs go via M0URX using his online QSL requests or OQRS system. Logs will be uploaded to Logbook of the World and Club Log as soon as they get back to the mainland. YL2GD, YL2GM, YL2KA, and YL3CW are reportedly operational as SV2/YL7A from Mount Athos. They will be there through May 28th with low band activity taking place. Look for more details and webpage to be forthcoming. G3XAQ will be active holiday style as C56XA from the Gambia until June 4th. He will operate CW on the high frequency bands and will participate in the CQ Worldwide WPXCW contest, QSL via G3SWH. F4HGL will be in Baghdad, Iraq for 6 months starting at the end of June. He is currently awaiting his license and he will be active during his free time, mostly on SSB. QSL via F5OWK. Lastly, DL1HRN is currently active as 3W9HRN from Hanoi, Vietnam. His length of stay is not known, but activity is mainly CW on the high frequency bands. QSL via his home call sign, direct or by the Bureau. All QSOs will be uploaded to Club Log. And finally this week, the International Space Station orbits the Earth above us as if it will be there forever. But what happens when a piece of equipment breaks down and the parts necessary to fix it are unavailable? Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD, takes a look at the new concept of 3D parts manufacturing in space.
3D printers aren't exactly new anymore, but the way NASA is using theirs is. They've been testing the ability of the one on the International Space Station to print tools and extra parts with the simple click of a button. It used to be that repairs to the ISS were made by dispatching an entire resupply mission, but now some of that is being done remotely by parts printed while in orbit. To ascertain how successful printed in space parts are, completed tools and mechanical pieces it printed are being returned to Earth for examination. Quincy Bean is the head of the printer project at NASA. He recently received a box from space containing the tools and parts that were sent back to Earth in February. One of the pieces in the box was a complete ratchet to compare with one printed here on Earth, to help determine which tools and pieces they can print on orbit and which will need to be delivered. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD reporting.
The ISS 3D printer has already produced a spare part for itself. Its ongoing work is helping researchers understand how microgravity affects the 3D printing process. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, RAIN, the RSGB, the South African Radio League, the Southgate News, Twit TV, Australia's WIA News, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. Before we go, and for the last time this year, a reminder that Amateur Radio Newsline is seeking nominations for its 2015 Young Ham of the Year Award. For consideration, a nominee must have used amateur radio in some way that has benefited his or her community or encouraged technological development directly or indirectly related to communications. Nominees must be 19 years or younger and reside in the United States, including Hawaii, Alaska, and Puerto Rico, or any of the Canadian provinces. The individual must also hold a currently valid United States or Canadian amateur radio license. The deadline for submitting an application is May 30th, 2015, and the decision of the judging committee is final. To obtain an application, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to 2015 Young Ham of the Year Award in care of Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. You can also download a form in Microsoft Word format at www.arnewsline.org/YHOTY, clicking on the word here and saving the file to print at a later time. Presentation of the 2015 Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award will take place the weekend of August 15th and 16th at the Huntsville Ham Fest in Huntsville, Alabama. For now, with producer Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF in Los Angeles, plus our news team worldwide, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH in Topeka, Kansas, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2015, all rights reserved.